Venia makes what's supposed to be a sympathetic face. Good news, though. This is the last one. Ready? I get a grip on the edges of the table I'm seated on and nod. The final swath of my leg hair is uprooted in a painful jerk. I've been in the remake center for more than 3 hours, and I still haven't met my stylist. Apparently, he has no interest in seeing me until Venia and the other members of my prep team have addressed some obvious problems. This has included scrubbing down my body with a gritty foam that has removed not only dirt but at least 3 layers of skin, turning my nails into uniform shapes, and primarily, ridding my body of hair. My legs, arms, torso, underarms, and parts of my eyebrows have been stripped of the stuff, leaving me like a plucked bird, ready for roasting. I don't like it. My skin feels sore and tingling and intensely vulnerable. But I have kept my side of the bargain with Haymitch, and no objection has crossed my lips.
You're doing very well, says some guy named Flavius.
He gives his orange corkscrew locks a shake and applies a fresh coat of purple lipstick to his mouth.
If there's one thing we can't stand, it's a whiner. Grease her down.
Venia and Octavia, a plump woman whose entire body has been dyed a pale shade of pea green, rub me down with a lotion that first stings but then soothes my raw skin. Then they pull me from the table, removing the thin robe I've been allowed to wear off and on. I stand there, completely naked, as the three circle me, wielding tweezers to remove any last bits of hair. I know I should be embarrassed, but they're so unlike people that I'm no more self-conscious than if a trio of oddly colored birds were pecking around my feet. The three step back and admire their work.
Excellent. You almost look like a human being now,
says Flavius, and they all laugh. I force my lips up into a smile to show how grateful I am. Thank you, I say sweetly. We don't have much cause to look nice in District 12. This wins them over completely.
Of course you don't, you poor darling,
says Octavia, clasping her hands together in distress for me.
But don't worry, says Venia. By the time Cinna is through with you, you're going to be absolutely gorgeous.
We promise. You know, now that we've gotten rid of all the hair and filth, you're not horrible at all,
says Flavius encouragingly.
Let's call Cinna.
They dart out of the room. It's hard to hate my prep team. They're such total idiots. And yet, in an odd way, I know they're sincerely trying to help me. I look at the cold white walls and floor and resist the impulse to retrieve my robe. But this Cinna, my stylist, will surely make me remove it at once. Instead, my hands go to my hairdo, the one area of my body my prep team had been told to leave alone. My fingers stroke the silky braids my mother so carefully arranged. My mother. I left her blue dress and shoes on the floor of my train car, never thinking about retrieving them. Of trying to hold on to a piece of her, of home. Now I wish I had. The door opens and a young man who must be Cinna enters. I'm taken aback by how normal he looks. Most of the stylists they interview on television are so dyed, stenciled, and surgically altered they're grotesque. But Cinna's close-cropped hair appears to be its natural shade of brown. He's in a simple black shirt and pants. The only concession to self-alteration seems to be metallic gold eyeliner that has been applied with a light hand. It brings out the flecks of gold in his green eyes. And despite my disgust with the Capitol and their hideous fashions, I can't help thinking how attractive it looks.
Hello, Katniss. I'm Cinna, your stylist,
he says in a quiet voice, somewhat lacking in the Capitol's affectations. Hello. I venture cautiously.
Just give me a moment, all right?
He asks. He walks around my naked body, not touching me, but taking in every inch of it with his eyes. I resist the impulse to cross my arms over my chest.
Who did your hair?
My mother, I say.
It's beautiful. Classic, really, and in almost perfect balance with your profile. She has very clever fingers,
he says. I had expected someone flamboyant, someone older trying desperately to look young, someone who viewed me as a piece of meat to be prepared for a platter. Cinna has met none of these expectations. You're new, aren't you? I don't think I've seen you before, I say. Most of the stylists are familiar, constants in the ever-changing pool of tributes. Some have been around my whole life.
Yes, this is my first year in the games,
says Cinna. So they gave you District 12, I say. Newcomers generally end up with us, the least desirable district.
I asked for District 12,
he says, without further explanation.
Why don't you put on your robe and we'll have a chat?
Pulling on my robe, I follow him through a door into a sitting room. Two red couches face off over a low table. Three walls are blank, the fourth is entirely glass, providing a window to the city. I can see by the light that it must be around noon, although the sunny sky has turned overcast. Cinna invites me to sit on one of the couches and takes his place across from me. He presses a button on the side of the table. The top splits, and from below rises a second tabletop that holds our lunch. Chicken and chunks of oranges cooked in a creamy sauce laid on a bed of pearly white grain, tiny green peas and onions, rolls shaped like flowers, and for dessert, a pudding the color of honey. I try to imagine assembling this meal myself back home. Chickens are too expensive, but I could make do with a wild turkey. I'd need to shoot a second turkey to trade for an orange. Goat's milk would have to substitute for cream. We can grow peas in the garden. I'd have to get wild onions from the woods. I don't recognize the grain. Our own tessera ration cooks down to an unattractive brown mush. Fancy rolls would mean another trade with the baker, perhaps for two or three squirrels. As for the pudding, I can't even guess what's in it. Days of hunting and gathering for this one meal, and even then it would be a poor substitution for the capital version. What must it be like, I wonder, to live in a world where food appears at the press of a button? How would I spend the hours I now commit to combing the woods for sustenance if it were so easy to come by? What do they do all day, these people in the capital, besides decorating their bodies and waiting around for a new shipment of tributes to roll in and die for their entertainment? I look up and find Cinna's eyes trained on mine.
How despicable we must seem to you, he says.
Has he seen this in my face or somehow read my thoughts? He's right, though. The whole rotten lot of them is despicable.
No matter, says Cinna. So Katniss, about your costume for the opening ceremonies. My partner, Portia, is the stylist for your fellow tribute, Peeta. And our current thought is to dress you in complimentary costumes, says Cinna. As you know, it's customary to reflect the flavor of the district.
For the opening ceremonies, you're supposed to wear something that suggests your district's principal industry. District 11, agriculture. District 4, fishing. District 3, factories. This means that coming from District 12, Peeta and I will be in some kind of coal miner's getup. Since the baggy miner's jumpsuits are not particularly becoming, our tributes usually end up in skimpy outfits and hats with headlamps. One year, our tributes were stark naked and covered in black powder to represent coal dust. It's always dreadful and does nothing to win favor with the crowd. I prepare myself for the worst. So I'll be in a coal miner outfit, I ask, hoping it won't be indecent.
Not exactly. You see, Portia and I think that coal miner thing's very overdone. No one will remember you in that, and we both see it as our job to make the District 12 tributes unforgettable,
says Cinna. I'll be naked for sure, I think.
So rather than focus on the coal mining itself, we're going to focus on the coal,
says Cinna. Naked and covered in black dust, I think.
And what do we do with coal? We burn it,
says Cinna.
You're not afraid of fire, are you, Katniss?
He sees my expression and grins. A few hours later, I am dressed in what will either be the most sensational, or the deadliest costume in the opening ceremonies.